Hey, my friends, I had the most amazing week. I was at the National Eucharistic Congress, and I got to speak in front of about 55,000 people. I'm not going to lie, that's more than a little bit intimidating. And I was praying, Lord, where's the grace here, man? Because I was just had a pit in my stomach, but it really came. And it came in the form of the Lord just reminding me of who I am. That you're either sent or you're not, Chris. And if you're sent, you got nothing to worry about because I got your back. And Chris, you're sent to this moment. That was a word I got from multiple people in prayer before I delivered that message. Guys, you too are sent. And I think when we forget that, we forget to be bold. We start apologizing for being too holy. We start apologizing for being too joyful. We start apologizing for spreading and sharing our faith. And this message is to inspire you to stop apologizing for all those things and to blast into the darkness of this world with the light that God has put inside of you. Hope this message encourages and inspires you. You inspire me. I also want to thank EWTN for capturing this audio and this footage and letting us use it. God bless you. Enjoy the message.
Our next speaker is an internationally acclaimed author, a speaker, and a television host who has devoted his life to sharing the joy of the gospel and helping others to do the same. His live reboot events, TV, radio, and video ministry has reached millions. You can learn more about him through the stuff he offers and his mission at reallifecatholic.com. And to get his free program on how to live a joyful life, text the word joy to the number 44144. Above all, our next speaker is a proud husband to Natalie, his wife, a father to his 6 children and his 4 grandchildren. Brothers and sisters, please join me in welcoming Chris Stefanik.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Got my notes here. You and I are recipients of the best news that mankind has ever, could ever, or will ever receive. The good news that there is a God. And why is this really good news? Because that shows us that life has purpose. It's not a cosmic accident. We all intuit this. I'm really struck by how many atheists tend to watch my videos and leave mean comments. Why are they watching? I think they're watching because they know that you need God to have purpose and they want me to be right. I'm not watching atheist videos. But it's the even better news that this God who gives life purpose is love. And that shows us that life is good. That he created us for a purpose that's good. And when we wander from his plan, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. I see the smallest glimpse of this divine love in my heart as a father, and it's downright scary. I've shared this story many times about my son Joseph, who's heading to Franciscan University this fall, but when he was 4 years old, we lost him. We were camping in the Rocky Mountains, and he ran off after some family, thinking it was us. And when he realized it wasn't us, he sat down amidst the trees, terrified. And my whole family was running through the forest screaming his name, and he was too afraid to move. 20 minutes passed, and there was a pond where we were camping, and I thought he must have drowned, so I ran there to find him, and I'm knee-deep in this water looking for his body, and this prayer just exploded from my heart. It wasn't premeditated, it just came from what I am as a father, which is an echo of who God is. I said, Lord, you've done so much good for me. You've given me a great life. You've given me so many blessings. Take it all back right now and give me my son. In that moment, the Father showed me the smallest glimpse of his love for you. That when you and me wander into the forest of sin, he's never saying, go ahead and get lost. Every time he's saying, take everything, take my life. I'll be your food in the Eucharist. I'll be waiting for you in confession. I just want my son. I just want my daughter to come home. This is the love we're reminded of in every communion. And we come to Mass with our questions renewed. Do I matter? And we hear God's answer, body of Christ. Is anyone noticing me? Body of Christ. Does my woundedness take away my worth? Body of Christ. And what's my net worth? Body of Christ. This is the best news ever, brothers and sisters. Every Every single gesture demands a response. If I high-five you, I get a high-five back. Let's up the intensity of the gesture. Will you marry me? I don't want a high-five back. How about this gesture? Body of Christ. This demands a response. And if our response is as it always has been, then this week was just a nice time away from the kids. Guys, next week, don't be the same person you were last week. Let's start to live a more radical response to the gift of the best news ever. And how? How do I want to beg you to respond? By sharing the gospel with confidence, by rejoicing in his love, even when life is really hard, and above all, by becoming a saint. Can I hear an amen to this? Amen. Number one, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with confidence. The gospel, that good news that Almighty God loves you, gives himself to you, and calls you to give yourself radically back to him and live a new life in the Holy Spirit. Guys, I think as a church, we've grown really good at talking above that, below that, to the side of that, about all the implications that come from that. But how often we fail to just talk about that? And why? I think we fail to just go there because maybe we've started to think that's too simple. Or maybe it's not relevant enough in 2024. I mean, this isn't 2,000 years ago. Man, I got news for you. People's hearts haven't changed, and people's hearts are made for the gospel. The gospel's lost none of its potency. 2,000 years ago, people knew they needed a savior. Today, people know they need a savior. In fact, this is the only part of the gospel everyone seems to agree on. Don't believe me? Watch what happens in November. By the way, the savior's name is not Don, and it's not Joe. It's Jesus. And I want you to take note, guys. I said, share the gospel with everyone you know. I didn't say, tell everyone why they're wrong. I didn't say, talk about politics with everyone you know. I didn't say, talk about all the stuff that has to do with the liturgy and debating the liturgy with everyone you know. And I'm not saying that stuff is bad. But here's the deal, man. If we don't talk about all the Catholic stuff inside of a context, all the Catholic stuff falls on deaf ears because it makes no sense to people. Pope Francis said that we are in the midst of a love story. If we don't understand that, we've understood nothing of what the church is. We're in the midst of a love story. Remove the context of the love story. What do you got? In marriage, remove the context that is love. What are we left with? I gave a talk and I asked that question recently. An old guy sitting in the front row said, a to-do list. This is how people have come to perceive Christianity as nothing but a to-do list. We got to remind them that this is the love story. We need to become the church of the gospel of Jesus Christ again. We need to be known primarily as the people who talk about and invite the world to Jesus. I put on a Theology on Tap event 15 years ago when I worked for the Archdiocese of Denver. And my bishop gave a great talk about abortion, and a man started to heckle him. And my wife went up to the man after the talk, because I think she wanted to get me into a fight and see how tough I was. And we had a great conversation, and it went on for an hour where I explained all the church's teachings on abortion, and we explained why he was wrong and we were right, and it was a great logical presentation to this guy. And at the end of that conversation, he said, yeah, but I just think my mom should have aborted me. And I realized, here I am talking to a guy about the church's teaching on abortion who has no idea that life is anything more than something absurd and contradictory. Guys, we need to get back to basics with people. In the words of Pope Francis, on the lips of catechists, the first proclamation must ring out over and over, Jesus Christ loves you. He gave his life to save you. He's now living at your side every day to enlighten and strengthen you. This first proclamation is called first, not because it exists in the beginning and we can move on past it to more important things. It's first in the qualitative sense. We have to hear it again and again. Guys, have confidence. Every single human heart is made for the love that is Jesus Christ. Every heart. Your neighbor, the empty person on Wall Street, the thief, the racist, the gender-confused kid. Everybody, first and foremost, needs this. This. And man, I know it's awkward to share it. It's painful. It's awkward for me sometimes. I mean, right now it's not. It would be awkward if I didn't talk about it right now. In my daily life, it's as awkward for me as it is for you. If I could share one of the most awkward experiences I ever had sharing the faith, my wife's grandma, she was dying of pneumonia at the age of 92. She was a wonderful woman, but she never went to church. And she told my wife years before that day on her deathbed that she thought she'd end up in hell when she died. And I was there at her deathbed, and I knew I had to say something. God had sent me to that moment. Guys, but this is not the time you want to rock the boat with a challenging discussion about religion with grandma. Or let's make it more awkward. Her son, my father-in-law, is an agnostic, and I'm Bible boy. But I had to say something. So we got real close to her, and we're face to face, and I said, "Repent!" Mission accomplished. Thank you for knowing that was a joke. I really didn't know what to say. So I said, "Florence, there was a thief crucified next to Jesus, and he never did anything good. But at the end of his life, he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said, 'Today, you will be with me in paradise.'" I said, "That guy went to heaven that day, not because of what he had done, but because of what Jesus did for him. That thief can be you." The next day, she was reconciled to God and received into the Catholic Church, and the day after that, she died. What if I hadn't said anything? What if you don't say something? Sometimes God's answer to someone who's lost is you. But Chris, what do I say? Here's the plan, guys. If God opens a door, you open your mouth. That's it. You'll figure it out as you start talking. That's what I'm doing right now. And sometimes it's big. Sometimes it's small. You don't have to be a fire hydrant all the time. Just be a sprinkler system. That's totally fine. You go to the grocery store. You get your change. Thank you for the change, and God bless you. Did I sneeze? No, I'm just a Catholic. Share the gospel with confidence. Number two, rejoice in his love. Brothers and sisters, when you consider what Almighty God did for you, you owe it to him to be a person of joy. A person of what?
Joy.
But Chris, what if the world is kind of a mess? I got news for you. The world's a total mess. That's when you need to be a person of joy more than ever. St. Paul, when his world was a mess, wrote to the Philippians about what we're supposed to do when life is messy, and he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again,
rejoice."
I looked this word rejoice up in the Greek, and the actual translation is rejoice. The praise, the worship, the things you were doing at this conference, you don't only do them when life is good and you're at a conference. You especially do them when life is hard. If you want to know the secret of St. Paul to his joy, read what was happening in prison in the Acts of the Apostles. When he's there with Silas, with welts covering his back from being whipped, with chains on his hands, he's praising the Lord with Silas. And the earthquake happened and his chains fell off. He was set free and he didn't run away. Why? Because he was already free in his heart. Because he was a person of praise. There's nothing stopping you from doing this kind of worship at home except for you feeling like you shouldn't. Maybe it's too extreme, but guys, it's the key to keeping your heart and mind on things above. St. Paul knew this. This is why he wrote to the Ephesians with his heart and mind set on things above. He wrote from prison, awaiting his beheading, chains on his wrist, "I, Paul, conquered by Nero." He didn't say that. See, even then he knew who he was because he had his heart and mind on things above. Awaiting his death, he wrote the words, "I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God." And he continued to the Ephesians, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. In him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us." In eight verses, you have, "I am an apostle, blessed, chosen, blameless, predestined son, lavished and loved." No wonder the guy was happy. And why? Because every moment he praised God. When things were tough, he praised God. When you go to work tomorrow and things are rough in the office, man, my employees hear me come in and say the word hallelujah when I bust in the doors. Is Chris angry today? Maybe he was, but he's not now. Because praise changes things. Someone cuts you off on the freeway, you do not wave one finger at them. Especially if you have an EWTN bumper sticker on your car. All five fingers in the air. That's when you start praising God right there. Can I hear an amen to this, Christian? Amen. Share the gospel with confidence. Rejoice always. And finally, you have to respond to all this grace poured upon you by becoming saint. Insert your name here. And in this present darkness, sometimes it's only the voice that is the witness of your life that will be heard. Someone told me an amazing story recently, a friend of mine. She was at Normandy Beach, and she encountered a man there. She didn't expect to encounter. He had a thick German accent. And he wanted to unload his story, so he said, I was a Nazi on D-Day, and I was here. And I remember the terror of watching all the ships come in. I was so overwhelmed. And when we were being overrun, I had one bullet left in my gun. And a man started to charge me with a bayonet, and I took aim and I shot him in the gut. He fell to his knees, took his helmet off, made the sign of the cross, and died. He said, it was in that moment that I realized there is a God, and Hitler is not God. Brothers and sisters, sometimes the only thing that breaks through this present darkness is the light of someone who is so sold out for Jesus Christ that you die for it and that you live for it. But Chris, I barely want to be holy, be a saint. I led a pilgrimage to Italy recently and I was at the tomb of Carlo Acutis. Carlo Acutis, who encouraged people. Yeah, you can give it up for him. He encouraged people, pray to want to be a saint. And if you don't even want to do that, pray to want to be a saint. Just start wherever you're at. Pope Benedict XVI said the ultimate apologetic, the ultimate answer to people's questions about faith is beauty and saints. Because we can always find people giving new answers to our answers. But when you're face to face with the beauty of sanctity, you just want it. You can't even help it. Man, I think of the world that loved to hate Catholics, and for some reason they love John Paul II and Mother Teresa, and they love these saints, and they're drawn to Francis, they're drawn to all this holiness. Why? They can't help it. Much like Herod drawn to John the Baptist, he couldn't help it. Man, may the Lord make us those people. Guys, don't be afraid to be radical. Don't be afraid about what the neighbors say when they could hear praise and worship blasting from your car when you come home from this conference. They're just jealous because you're not miserable anymore. Don't be afraid to smile too much around your coworkers. Make them wonder what you got up your sleeve. Guys, lean into community. Lean into praying a lot. Lean into worship. Lean into serving the poor. Lean into all those things. I want you to do the things you would do if you were a saint. Imagine, pretend to be that saint. Just play the saint and give it a couple years and watch what happens. But Chris, I'm a mess. Man, I can't do that. That's right, guys, but here's the good news. You are not in it alone. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, in Los Angeles, in Chicago, in Minneapolis, in New York, in Ringwood, New Jersey, in every single corner of this world, throughout all the earth, on the internet, with your friends, in your workplace, until Jesus comes again. Brothers and sisters, some people have likened this conference to a Pentecost moment, and we're going to pray for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit this morning. But I'll tell you, you want to really experience a new Pentecost moment? Guys, let's stop asking small of God. Let's expect. Let's ask for the grace that He promised to make us His witnesses. Because sometimes we don't experience that because we just pray too small. We don't set our eyes on saints and being saints because we don't think God can do that for us. Oh Lord, just help me to hold on today. Help me just be good. You think that's all God's capable of? Your God created a universe. How about this? Lord, unleash heaven on me.
Give me all the grace I need to be the saint you made me to be. Don't just help me to be good. Help me be a light in the darkness. Don't just help me to hold on to faith. Make me a river of living water flowing into a thirsty world. This is what God has in mind for you. As you go forth, share the gospel with confidence. Rejoice always. Become saint you. That is your response to the amazing and mind-blowing gesture, body of Christ. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. 2/3 of God's name is go. God bless you guys. Thank you.